Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Hans Shot First Podcast.
They don't know it, I'm telling you.
We'll be talking in-depth about common movie moments.
With my dead body.
With the mix of all things pop culture along the way.
Yeah, all stop.
Okay.
Welcome, everyone, to Hans Shot First. I'm Jeff, joined as usual by Scott and Alex. Say hello.
Hello.
Hey.
This week, we return to our normal format and are going to talk about Gung Ho.
Well, our almost normal format.
That's true. Gung Ho came out in 1986, directed by Ron Howard, written by Edwin Blum, Lowell Gons, and Babalo Mandel.
Babalo.
Wait, isn't it starring Randolph Scott?
Randolph Gung Scott.
Ho. Oh, shit. I watched the wrong movie.
Starring Michael Keaton. How do you say his first name? Geddy Lee? Watanabe.
This is Geddy Watanabe.
Yeah.
Watanabe. Close enough.
George Wendt. Mimi Rogers, John Turturro, Clint Howard, others.
There's a lot of character actors in this movie.
Yeah, Boss Tanaka, yeah, and others. All right, this was my nomination, and I did not see this in theaters, but I remember watching this at home with my parents. Like, my dad rented it. I think, as I mentioned in the past, my dad did not like much or anyone, but a few people he did, and when he did like you, he liked you, and Michael Keaton made that list. It's like John Wayne, Clint Eastwood, Michael Keaton. I don't know. Maybe Jack Nicholson and I think Kevin Kline for some reason, which is weird for my dad, but like, well, Michael Keaton never made the list, so that was he would sit with the family and watch it, and I really didn't know what was going on. Like, I liked the car fell apart. like really childish stuff back then. And I thought I saw once more on TV since then, but this is the first time I've really watched it since 1986 or 87. Yeah, we can talk about it. Alex, what's your history with this movie?
First, I'd like to say that this is actually a really good pick for Thanksgiving, as two cultures coming together in mutual understanding by the end of 2 hours.
Mutual understanding and mild racism.
That's right. Just like in the Pilgrim days.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know when I saw this movie first. I think I caught it on TV. I want to say it was one of those, like, there was nothing much on, nothing to do, so I was just surfing the channels. And I might have caught it on, like, Channel 13 or something back in the day. The first time I saw it. And I haven't seen it since, until today. And Clint Howard has never looked thicker.
All right. And Scott, what's your history with this movie?
Similar to Alex, I feel like this was on TV a lot when I was a kid. Maybe this is one of those HBO movies that was on all the time. But yeah, I remember seeing it as a kid. I vaguely remember watching it at some point, like late teens. But yeah, I have not seen this really since. It's a little bit of a rough watch.
Yeah,
there's some funny things in here, some really funny things. But yeah, we'll get into it.
All right. So because of our schedule and personal lives and everything taking over lately, we didn't really have time to make our list. So we're just going to talk about the movie this week. No top sevens, no crossovers. Let's just talk about Gung-Ho. Yeah, I mean, at the very beginning, it was kind of a typical movie format where the one guy is, you know, fish out of water, where he goes to Japan. And I mean, we kind of saw this in Lost Translation, but they did it better in that than there. But he's in Japan, everything's different, and ha ha ha. Like, I don't know. It's old, too. Like, I'm bringing the projector screen the whole time, and mm-hmm. and then, oh, no, we're in Japan, so everything's fancy. Of course we have this. And then they don't say anything, and it's awkward. I don't know.
I did, like, when he's doing the fish out of water thing, he does stop in front of some restaurant, and it's a thing they do a lot in Japan where they have the models, for lack of a better term, of what you're going to eat out in the window.
Yeah.
And he's just like shaking his head like, whoa, this is so weird. And I'm like, that's actually like, it's actually kind of cool. Like, that's not the reaction I would have had.
Well, it's just, it's Asian cuisine, maybe, versus Western cuisine, right? I think that's what it was, right? Like, maybe. For me, that's how I probably would react, more like him. Like, oh, it's all seafood, right? Like,
that's true. But I mean, like, to be fair, you just don't like seafood. So, like,
right, in general. So if it was all like, yeah, I don't know. I don't think he was reacting that it had it in the window. He was reacting to that it was just not Western food, right? I think.
Okay.
He's, I mean, Midwest guy that can't see him very being, you know, getting more than beer cheese soup and brats.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy Dean sausage.
There you go.
Yeah, product placement.
Jimmy Dean sausage. It's like, no. I did like the when he was up there about to say a speech. He's like, hey, you know, my dad spent a lot of time over here. It was about 1940. Yeah, who decorated this place?
Yeah,
this was great. Oh, that was my first big laugh of the movie. That was great.
I had to throw a couple of those. And how come you lost the big one, right, later on? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's what he meant. I thought it was because of the failed business that he had.
No. He was talking about WW2.
Oh, man. Yeah, okay.
And then it's okay, so... yeah. That's why he immediately, like, he says it and he immediately regrets it and it cuts deep, right? It was like, yeah, you know, you shouldn't go there. It's like, so what about the beginning when you see what's Watanabe's character in this? I already forget.
Cosmo.
Kazuhiro.
Kazuhiro. And he's in his, I don't know, punishment management training.
Yeah, that was just
badges.
Bizarre. Pins of shame.
Badges of shame. He's like, you know, you should really wear those on the inside. Like me.
Yeah. That was a funny joke.
I hope that's not real, or at least it wasn't real back in the
day. I have a hard time thinking that it was.
Yeah. Maybe it's like an exaggerated story somebody told.
I'm sure there's like training stuff where there was screaming and stuff, but not like this whole like humiliation thing that he was going through.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, let's just get that out of the way. So all the Japanese stereotypes in this, right? Like, there's a lot of it, and some of it is, like you said, kind of based on what you think you've heard, but it's definitely exaggerated. But I don't know. I mean, hard to say. Like,
I do think, like, they do a pretty good job of, like, making them, like, I mean, everybody in this movie is, like, situational comedy level, like, character. There's nothing to do with any of that, but they do make them seem relatable for mm-hmm. the most part, and like even some of the actors do a really good, like the, So Saab Shimono, the guy that plays the big boss's nephew, like Saito. Saito, the guy that plays like the stupid chief, like he's doing a really good stupid chief. Like he's always got like this shit-eating like look on his face. Like you're like, yeah, that's like the boss that you hate. Like whereas you know everybody else is just like they seem they're non-entities or they're cool or whatever, but. So like they kind of get around a lot of that stuff, like of like stereotypes in that way. You know, some of it like is balanced out too, just because the workers are such giant idiots. Like it almost feels like it's okay. Like, but yeah,
ingrates.
Like, yeah, like some of it's just weird and it doesn't really like them going into the river is really ridiculous.
Yeah. That like, was yeah, that was one like
that's just. It's pretty dumb. Although I did laugh when he shows up with the snorkel. that was funny. But them going in the river, like, no, like you don't do that in the Midwest. Like those rivers are so goddamn polluted.
Like, that's exactly what I was thinking too. It's like, oh, I think their junks are done for, man.
Yeah, oh my god. I was like, I hope like the actors like didn't have to spend much time in that river, because I was like,
yeah.
But so the river thing was weird. Like I don't know how hard they would have pushed the whole exercise thing. so that was a little weird to me. The red carpet thing was simultaneously funny and bizarre. Like I really don't think they would have stopped to take their shoes off. Like that was pretty dumb.
I mean, that was a good joke. I think that was a
no, funny that was joke, it was a funny joke, but like yeah,
and
like,
a harmless joke too. It was.
But yeah, for the most part, like that, and then just playing up the whole like the Japanese like company first, you'll die. Like people come to work sick, like that kind of stuff is like I don't know how much that was true in the early to mid '80s, but like it's not really that true anymore. Japan, yeah. Like if you're sick, you can stay home. Like.
especially now.
Yeah, especially now. Yeah, they definitely play up the whole like Japanese worker versus American worker thing. In the trivia, it's probably very apocryphal, but in the trivia it said that Toyota used this movie as like how not to treat American workers. Like like what they were doing here, the Asan car company here. But yeah, but for the most part, I feel like Gede Watanabe, his character is relatable. You have the other guy with the glasses and he wants to go be with his wife because he's having a kid. You know, they seem like normal people.
No, he said he wanted to stay.
He said he wanted to sit.
Yeah.
So I think the boss man is just a little overdone. I mean, he's...
Yeah, no, it's very over the top.
He's got the samurai voice, basically. No, like, it's...
Yeah, no, they definitely play that up. Yeah, yeah.
For sure. Yeah. But in the end, he's a good guy. You make me laugh. Ha ha. Like, yeah. But it was...
that was very funny, too. He didn't laugh once, yeah.
All right.
But another side go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, then there was just like some things that they made. I don't know whose joke, like we're supposed to be laughing at or with some of the jokes. Like early on in the movie, they're making fun of them for using chopsticks to eat noodles. Like some of the workers.
Stuff that was, yeah, really.
Like, I don't know if that was like supposed to be funny or if it was just supposed to point out that they're like idiots. Like, I'm not sure like where we're supposed to like come down on that.
I think I came down on
they're idiots.
Right. It's not the directors and the writers making fun of the Japanese. It's just these idiot, uncultured Midwesterners.
Right. Yeah. No. There's nothing. It's like there's no joke there. But I'm wondering like, as the audience, are we supposed to think that's funny or just be like, okay, these people are assholes? Like, I don't.
The latter.
But in 1980, it's easy, well, it's but, easy part. But in 1986 though, that's the thing.
1986, yeah.
I don't know. So, and I would say almost not even, well, maybe idiots, but maybe not supposed to be idiots, but more just like I said, it's different customs, so therefore the only thing to do is make fun of it, right? As opposed to,
yeah, because they don't understand it.
Right, it's different, so therefore it's wrong.
As an immigrant, yeah, some of that stuff was really pisses me off. Well, a child of an immigrant, but
basically. Although it was very funny that the one kid was playing, being a G.I. Joe.
God.
Neighbor's child.
It's very...
That was another great joke.
My mom tells a story because she grew up in the Phoenix area. So, Jesus, it's been back in the 60s or 70s, like, it was 60s. Some of the kids down the street were Japanese, but they were, like, American-born Japanese, so they had, like, no idea about World War II or anything like that, and they were, like, they would play, like, whatever, and, you know, it would be, like, the U.S. versus the Japs or something like that, but that's what the kids would say. Like they would, these Japanese kids would say that because they didn't know any better. So, I could totally see that happening where the kid just doesn't know any better.
Yeah.
But yeah, the implication is there. Like that dude's old enough that he probably was in World War II. Like, so, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of a little collar pulley there. Yeah.
I remember you just kind of brought something. I was a kid, and some kid at school. It was like teaching me how to draw these two like karate guys fighting. And they're like doing jump kicks or whatever. And
did it turn into a swastika?
Yes. So literally. Well no, so it was two guys fighting, and then he put you gotta have you gotta put these logos on each one. And it was one was a swastika. I had no idea what a swastika was. Yeah. And the other was like the yin yang sign.
Okay.
And okay, whatever, I drew that. And then I'd go home and I would draw it. And then like one day my dad saw me, he's like, "Where did you learn that? What is that?" And I'm like, "I don't know." He's like, "Don't ever draw that again. That part you can't do." I didn't know what I was doing. I was just drawing stuff. And then I bet the kid who taught me had no idea either. He probably copied it from his Nazi dad or something.
Yes, it was like, super racist, like dad or uncle.
No, wait, was the kid that taught you this Asian?
No, I don't think so. I have no idea. Okay. It was just...
Because what I'm thinking is if he was Asian, then that could have been, you know, the Buddhist symbol. That's not at an angle, you know?
Could have been.
Yeah.
Probably was a swastika, though.
I know.
Every once in a while, you'll see some, like, not necessarily story, but somebody will be like, it's not actually a swastika, it's this thing. And it's like...
White power.
Go back to your country. Yeah, it's just like everybody fucking knows what it is. Don't pretend like just because it's like there's not the same like that people aren't gonna think that when they see it. Like,
sounds like we're doing. Was it Tom Hanks talking about this at the beginning of Da Vinci Code?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
To go back, so one thing I wanted to mention is I loved, how are you saying his name? Getty Watanabe in this.
Watanabe, yeah.
He's really good, he's like kind of crazy, funny guy, you know, it's when he's being tortured or whatever, but when he shows up, he's like just super serious, like when he's with his family at the beginning. He does both, very comedic and very like straight in this, and I thought it was really good.
I think my like favorite parts of the movie... at least like the non-comedic parts were just him and Michael Keaton like being real, like when they're in the bowling alley, like when they're just like, okay, here's the truth, like, and they're talking to each other just like regular people,
right?
And like Michael Keaton's character dials it back, you know, because he's just a consummate bullshit artist, and you know, Watanabe's able to like let loose a little bit, you know, just them being real people, a little over the top real people, but still, I like that a lot. And just him as an actor, like, yeah, he's doing like a lot of like real acting here. He's not just like the comic relief.
Exactly.
But
with the comedy in there as well. That's what makes
impressive. It's his career. Like a lot of these guys are great character actors. you know, it's unfortunate that they can only like do this stuff as like as Japanese like actors. So again, like the guy that was, you know, Saito, he's the stupid chief, like he got to do that just because, you know, they happened to need a Japanese person for this. And like the other guy, like with the glasses, when he's like doing the little dance in the line, like that was very adorable. Like, you know, but yeah, they only got that stuff because, you know, just the Japanese. It's important. Watanabe too was like the whole 16 candles thing.
That's what I was gonna say. At least it wasn't Long Duck Dong,
which is fucking ridiculous. We don't have to get into that, but
or in UHF. Isn't that him?
He was great.
Yeah, that's him too. Yeah. Yeah. Again, like he's hilarious. Like, but yeah, he got like still pigeonholed. So yeah, we don't have to get too much into that. But but like this movie like is filled with the character actors though, not just the Japanese dudes. So like we get both Howards. I don't know if you recognize Rance Howard.
I see him in the credits, but I don't know who that is.
He's the mayor. Yeah.
He's been in a bunch of stuff.
Really?
It was neat. He was in a Seinfeld where Newman ends up like in a farm and he says, "Just don't go touching my daughter."
Oh yeah. And Newman hooks up with the farmer's daughter.
Yeah.
So Rance Howard had the funny line when they're at the 4th of July fair, and he said, like, you've been the death of this town, now I'm going to be the death of you.
Yeah.
that was pretty funny. But he's
Gennaro. Gennaro from Jurassic Park's in it.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, he's only...
Holly Gennaro?
Yeah.
No, not Holly Gennaro. Holly McClain.
Obviously, John Turturro, Rick Overton. Mm-hmm. George Wendt. Yeah.
I could have sworn that when I was remembering this movie that it was John Goodman and not George Wendt. And I'm like, oh, I got the wrong person.
So when I saw this as a kid, he was the only person I knew because from Cheers. I didn't even know who Michael Keaton was because this is before Batman, right? Like I would have known him as Batman. That's probably the first thing I knew him from. So it would have been George Wendt was the only one I knew.
So even one of the other Japanese guys, Stan, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Egi? He had a prominent role in Rising Sun, which I don't think have we done that movie? Put it on my list now.
Yes.
We did do it.
We have done that movie.
Yeah. Ah, okay. Damn it.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we did with Sean Connery and Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
I don't think we did that movie. There's no way.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll have to check on that later, but he was really good in that. So did you recognize Rick Overton? He looks like he's really young and skinny here, but like one of his big things is he's the flapjack guy from Groundhog Day.
Okay, that's who he was.
Yeah,
but not the guy from The Burbs.
Not the guy from The Burbs. No,
the other guy. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's constantly.
Well, the other guy is a brother of somebody, right? The Burbs guy, isn't he like a Murray or a Ack? Damn it.
I don't know, but I know he passed away. Like around that time.
I gotta look this up.
In the 90s, I believe? Like when I read his IMDb when we were doing the Burbs, I was like, oh man, that's why I haven't seen him in a lot.
Oh, never mind. Rick Dukem. Never mind. Ignore me.
It was just in the Burbs and Blank Check.
So, talking about the actors, I just want to say they did George Wendt dirty in this movie. Like, cause this character is just an absolute piece of shit. Like,
oh, he
and he has another... and they also make him constantly do slow motion running. Yeah. And they make him do it twice in the movie.
He was big here too. I mean, he was always a big guy. He felt way bigger here than like when he was on Cheers. Maybe not, but.
Yeah, Keaton might be a small dude. I don't know. We came up. But, yeah, his character's just like almost nothing redeeming about that guy. Like,
what's the most unbelievable thing in this movie? That they made the 50,000 cars or that he got from first to third on a pop-up? You tell me, Scott.
Like I said, it was slow motion. Yeah. Yeah. No. He. Yeah. That was. They should have that pop up at second base, like between first and second. Not.
Yeah. Seriously, that would make more sense.
Ron Howard's eyes were bigger than the stomach.
I mean, first to third is hard for the fastest guy in baseball to do.
Like, yeah. Pop up.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, a guy will sky it, but not right above like the shorts, like between second and third.
I can't believe he actually slid into a base.
He did slide, yeah. He had a.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god, actually that's made him. Slide. That's not a stunt double. Yeah. They didn't cut away.
The baseball was funny. Like, I wish they just had them keep bunting. Like, that's how I remembered it. Like, it shows them like actually like taking full swings.
They did the move from Samurai Champloo,
which was
where one of the Japanese guys, one of the players, hits the ball straight into the ground and then it pops way up high.
Okay, yeah. It was ridiculous that they all showed up with the full uniforms.
Yankees. You got to remember, this is the 80s. This is when we still kind of looked down on Japanese baseball. We knew they played it, but there were no Ichiro.
Wasn't a lot of like that knowledge amongst the regular fan base. I bet like people in Major League Baseball probably had some idea, but yeah. Probably not a lot though. There's got to be like a ton of Japanese baseball players that would have been able to play like at any point.
Who knew?
Tom Selleck. Yeah.
Tom Selleck knew.
Well, he didn't know until he went over there, though.
No, so he said, you know what? I got to make a movie about this. Because I know these guys are real good.
But, yeah, I know the baseball stuff was core, softball, and, like, that's all good stuff. So I had a question about the union stuff in this, because they're all part of a union, but then they were afraid of them unionizing. I guess I was confused by that.
Yeah, that was a little confusing because then they walk. Yeah, that doesn't.
I think it's because they took a new contract with a Japanese company. Then they couldn't be a part of the union that they were before.
So they were all scabs to work for the Japanese company?
I guess. That's what it sounded like to me. And then after.
I don't think they weren't scabs because there was no like work going on.
Right, the factory's closed.
Yeah.
They're still part of a union.
The weirdest part for me was that they like organized to walk off. Like, I don't know, like how that's supposed to work after that. Like, yeah, like it's not illegal to do that, but like, what's the recourse after that? Like, I wonder. I don't know how that's supposed to shake out.
Their town shuts down.
Yeah.
And then
recourse.
And then when you walk off, but you just hang outside the works, just drink and just watch them. Like, I don't know, they're all just hanging out, and then John Turturro's like, "No, something's wrong. I gotta go."
Yeah, or maybe he's just trying to save this town.
So that was another thing I didn't going back to the mayor and him saving the town. Like, the mayor is like, "Oh, you've killed this town," but it's like, no, like the town was already dying. Like, Michael Keaton managed to revive the town, give it a chance, and it like was on the verge of not working out. That's not his fault. Like, in any way, shape, or form. Like, yeah, he made him work harder than maybe he had to. That's, like, the worst case scenario. Like, I don't know why anybody would have been blaming him for that. Yeah, because, like,
you gotta blame somebody.
It's like, oh, would you rather, you know, the town just died? Yeah, it didn't make any sense.
So let's talk about the Michael Keaton character. Kind of a dork, kind of a doofus, kind of an idiot. You just want him to say different things the whole time. Like, why are you making it worse on yourself? But he has to have a character arc, right? So, gotta do it. But there was times like, dude, you're making this so much worse.
Yeah, part of it, I think, was just reliving, because he keeps telling those sports stories. I think he is a little bit like Al Bundy, reliving his glory days.
Yeah.
And everybody counting on him to save the day. And I think that's why, at the core, he wanted to be the one guy that saves not only everybody's jobs, but the town.
Yeah, it is like...
I mean, the big salary also helped.
Yeah.
Trying to weasel more deals into it.
Yeah, this is like that whole small town mentality. They're all, like, everybody knows each other. But, his, he was hit and miss with me. Like, it feels like they just kind of, they put too much weight on him being able to carry the movie, which he's capable of, but he just, a lot of times when he's being a bullshit artist, it was just kind of like, eh. Like, sometimes it was really funny, and sometimes it was just like, this is just
cringy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, this is going to end badly.
Yeah.
Which is, like, I get it. I like, sometimes was, you're moving the, yeah, it's to move the plot. Yeah, yeah, but it's yeah. not necessarily enjoyable.
It's still, yeah, it's like, oh, man.
I do want to talk a little bit about his relationship with Audrey Mimi Rogers. So I have strong feelings about this. So they have the dinner. And
talk about cringe.
And all man. So all the wives get up to leave and she sticks around. Mm-hmm. Or wives and girlfriends or whatever. They all get up to leave because Gede Watanabe says, well, let's talk a little business here. Mm-hmm. And So, like, right away, Michael Keaton is being very abrasive when he's like, tells her to get out or go away. It's mm-hmm. probably not the right tack to take. But she's like, no, I'm going to stick around to hear this. I want to know what's going on. Like, she's basically inserting herself into this business thing. It's like, okay. And Watanabe's like, all right. And he starts saying what he's going to say. And so he tells Keaton that he's fired. And Keaton, like, you know, says whatever he says. And then, you know, he's trying to save his job and, like, maybe the factory people, we don't know. And she's like, no, you're wrong. Like, in front of his boss. Like, and that whole situation, and then he tells her to shut up. So, like, when they're back in the car together, it's like, I feel like they should be, like, equally mad at each other at that point. Like, yes, he was being a jerk. But she was just like, like, I'm going to sit here and be a part of your business. Like I felt that was wrong too. Like, that bothered me. That mm-hmm. like, as the audience, we were just supposed to be like, oh no, it was fine for her just to be like, insert herself into that whole conversation.
I agree with you, Scott, but as a married man, see. <it's one> of...
But here's the thing. They're not even married.
Yeah, yeah.
I know.
That's what got me. It's like, well, how could he do his wife dirty like that?
Like, I think not even married. I think I like to simplify it. Like, they were both out of line, but the movie treats it like only he was. And also that line about him bringing up the other girl was very forced. Like, her line about "What am I, just a parrot with tits?" is a great line. I love that line. And then he just randomly brings up the other girl after that. That wasn't great writing. That was not great writing.
At that point. Like. I even forgot about her, like, from the beginning of the movie. It's like, yeah. What?
I kept waiting for her to, like, pop up again and like, something to bring her. Nope. She's just there for that one. For that one scene, like, in the beginning. Just
like that one lady time. From Vacation. National Lampoon's Vacation.
Christie Brinkley?
Was that her?
She shows up a bunch of times.
Yeah. That's what I expected.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, her to show up a bunch of times.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I agree. She shouldn't have been there. He asked her if she did, and then she talked back to him, and he shouldn't have said, shut up like that, but at the same time, yeah, it's bad.
Yeah. Because, I mean, even if you're wrong, even if you know your spouse or your partner's wrong, you got to back them up in a public situation like that, no matter what. Then in private, then you can talk about what happened.
Exactly. But, you don't go against the family.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, because she is right. He's just looking out for himself. He's not really looking out for everyone. And then she's right, but she shouldn't do it the way she did it. And then,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, so he makes the deal. So we have all these different issues, and they're not producing because the American workers aren't adapting. There's like scenes, like montages of, you know, George Wendt not spraying the right way, and they're telling him to spray a different way. And
here.
Yeah, they're not doing well. So the head boss man's upset, and it's ruining
his family life, and you could tell that his wife had put together the bike, and he's like, no. Then that's the bowling alley scene, and that's when, like, well, whatever, right? When Michael Keaton's like, well, what if we could, you're in bigger trouble than me, or, oh, no, that already happened when he said we could do the 10,000, or I already forgot the number.
It's like, what would a one-eared elephant look like?
Yeah, which is also kind of, like, the number was kind of bullshit. It was like, that's the most they've ever done. And that's what we're going to do. They should have been like, okay, if you did...
He's like, what's the average?
Yeah.
He was not that smart.
No. Yeah.
I guess ultimately the boss man knew that was a very hot, lofty goal, and he saw that them... Good team.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. Good man. Team. Yeah. Going back to when he's on the phone telling the main boss that things aren't going well, and like they were fighting right before that, but like she goes over and gives him a hug, and like I really like that again, just like we're gonna have all these like haha, they're Japanese, they're different kind of things, but they're still just like regular people and they're supporting each other, and I like that. I don't know why she's wearing a kimono. Like she's not dressed that way for the rest of the movie, so that was weird. Maybe there was like another scene. Maybe there's like another scene to explain why she was dressed like that in that scene. But
give them credit, Sky. They just showed that she's Japanese. At least she wasn't dressed like a geisha girl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So yeah, well, he gets the team back together. He tells them what happened. So he says, tells them if they do 10,000. Like, there's no fucking way. And like, well, what if we do half of it? Like, I like that American attitude. Well, not going to get an A on this test, but, you know, I get a C plus.
strong C plus.
Yeah, like, come on, this is something I can actually do. I did like that. They couldn't even, like, try to do the A. Like, nah, I won't give you partial credit.
Let's pretend I made that up, all right? Let's just focus on the 15,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was painful.
And then they find out, blah, blah, blah. And then...
we're getting the guys and we're coming over to get you.
That was funny. And I got much more to say, except that when they get together, so then Michael Keaton and whatnot be go in there and try to do it themselves, which was, whatever, this is the movie moment. And like, how long did that take?
15 minutes?
Yeah. 4 hours. Yeah. If they wouldn't have wasted those 4 hours, they could have easily done it.
That's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But hey, everybody was listening to George Went, so that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The final car inspection, though, was very funny. And that's like what I remember most from this movie. The
polishing the fake glass.
So that was funny. But the thing that made me laugh more that I completely forgot about was the guy in the engine block. Like, yeah. It makes no sense, but it was hilarious.
Yeah, that was good. And then you said about the part I remember as a kid is him driving the. I'll take this one. And then he just falls.
Yeah.
I wonder how many takes that took.
Nobody is like wondering if it's going to turn on or not. He's like, yeah, all right.
What does he say when he gets out of the car? Like, handles great. Or,
I'd handle like a dream.
Also, those cars, oh my God, those were like supposed to be like Datsuns? Like, I don't know what they
That's
were
That's
like.
What I was going to say.
Like God.
Like those tiny Corollas.
I mean, that's how Toyota got a foothold, or like Japanese cars was like through those cars.
Yeah, like, lean and mean.
Like lots of ugly cars in that time period.
Fucking Mustangs from that period are ugh, the worst. Just saying.
Yeah. But yeah, just, like I said, that montage. You mentioned the guy dancing and all the. No lug bolts, no lug nuts, no.
Yeah.
No tape.
Only use four, at least four instead of five. Yeah.
It's like, no, not four, just one. The lug on the tires. We're out of time.
Yeah. Listening to the music, the dance, just the mix of the cultures there and everything. It was fun. And then, yeah, the boss coming out and judging them all.
Yeah, the speech from Michael
Keaton. 15,000 cars.
So they, like, they marked off, like, a few as not being good out in, like, the lot or whatever. Like, it would have taken forever to do that. They had all the time in the world to finish up those last, like, like six cars. Like,
oh, well, the Japanese are very efficient counters.
Maybe. Maybe that's what that
is. Yeah.
Yep. It was fun. And then you see that they build a good team and that the factory's going well. And then later on, they show them all doing exercises together. And huzzah!
Some a lackluster 80s soundtrack, by the way.
I know. Wasn't that... Was that... Do you guys think it was the same lady that sang I Need a Hero that sang that one song?
Bonnie Tyler?
Bonnie Tyler PJs.
Yeah, just gonna say that. whatever that song was, though, that was 80s comedy movie.
Oh, no, there was definitely, that had that 80s stink on a lot of it. Yeah.
I was just like, especially that one song, I was like, oh my god, this is insert into 80s comedy movie now. Alright, well, I don't got much more to add.
I had something and I lost it. Probably because I'm drinking a delicious Centauri whiskey right now to go along with this podcast.
Relaxing times. Mm-hmm. Centauri times.
All right.
I want to eat some... I wanted to eat Japanese food when I was watching. I'm like, I'd go for some ramen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, been watching... Laura and I watch a lot of Disney vloggers on YouTube, and
your wife too.
Yeah, and some of them I enjoy, and this one, and the ones I tend to enjoy more now are the ones that do other stuff too. Just because, like, okay, I've been to Disneyland, I don't need to see the best, you know, wait to get on Pirates. But this other couple, they went to I want to shut them out. I think they're called Ordinary Adventures. Give them a shout out. Anyway, they went to Japan, first time they've ever been. And I don't even know if they make it to Tokyo Disney, but I'm just walking around town and stuff. And so I just had some questions for you, Scott, if you did any of this. Like, they have vending machines for everything.
They have vending machines everywhere and for everything, yeah.
Yeah. Did you get, they had, sandwiches and...
The more, perishable food stuff was a little rare. And I didn't, but that was less because I not that I didn't want to, but just I was always go, go, go every time. I was going somewhere. Anytime I could, I stopped to get some kind of different beverage. There was some good stuff. I forget what it was called because it was in Japanese, but there was it was just soda, but it was lemonade flavored soda, which we just don't have here for some reason. And I couldn't figure out why.
It's called Fanta.
It's not Fanta. Yeah.
It's lemon lime Fanta.
And stuff like that, where it was just a little bit different, but still good. They have the vending machines everywhere. And not only that, but convenience stores. So 7-Eleven's everywhere.
They have good stuff at 7-Eleven.
Right. So you have here you'd be okay, it's a coin flip, I might get sick from eating whatever's on that roller. But Japan, you don't worry about that stuff. It's weird. At least for me, there was a whole nother, I never thought that I was in, I'm in danger, eating the food. But yeah, there's convenience stores everywhere, and they have hot food that you can get. There's just food places everywhere in general, at least around Tokyo.
Yeah. And then, sorry.
Did you get these... your woman from there?
rooms. They're arcades, but they're not arcades. They're all vending machines of little toys and stuff.
Yeah, so they have the gachapon machines. Sure. Which, are you talking about the little capsules?
Sure. They seem like they're mystery toys or something.
There's you get these little capsules and it could be a random thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a lot of the UFO catcher or crane game places too, everywhere. They're a little bit different in Japan too, because there's like, you don't just like drop the crane in to pick up stuff. Like there's like a hitch to it, where like you've got to like knock something into the hole, or you've got to like not shake one loose somehow. Like I'm it's hard to describe, but they're like a little bit different. But they also suck up your money too, just like they do here. those capsule machines, yeah, they're all over the place.
And then the last question I asked, did you see the Godzilla Hotel? That's where they stayed at. And it was like this Godzilla-themed hotel, I guess, on the inside. But there is a giant Godzilla head, like, on the top of the building. But if you're street level, it looks like he's, like, looking over the building and about to attack it.
Jeff, I'm going to send you a picture.
Oh, wow. Is this Scott in front of the Godzilla building? Dang.
I didn't know it was a hotel. But yeah, not to bore listeners too much. In one of the places around Tokyo, like called Shinjuku, that's like more of like an entertainment district, red light district.
What?
Ew.
Not that kind of like red light, more like entertainment, not like hooers.
There's just a lot of red lights.
There's a giant like Godzilla popping up over one of the like 13 story buildings. Like,
yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's super cool. Yeah. That's the Alex. That's where Kabukicho is. That's where the Red Gate from Kamurocho is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. So that's like right around that area.
I played the Yakuza game, so I know exactly yeah, where that is.
I got pictures in front of the Red Gate. I didn't see any people that were obviously Yakuza when I was walking through there.
You didn't see Kazuma
Kiryu. I didn't see any dudes like in suits or like wearing sunglasses
with the pins
at night. Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Like, oh shit.
I know I did go to like a sushi restaurant that was like upstairs. There were 100% a couple of like shady dude, like 99% sure they were Yakuza.
Were you or them sushi. Eating sushi off of a woman laying on the table?
Neither one of us. These were mostly work dinners.
Yeah. In the movies I saw, it was a work dinner too.
Yeah.
although there were rumors that they were going to try to take us to a maid cafe. But that just would have been awkward, I think. So they
yes. But I still would have gone.
Yeah. Like if everybody else would have done, I'd have been like, well, you know, win in Tokyo.
Yeah,
win in Tokyo. I don't think I would go on my own. There's also had like they had the cat cafes, and like I think one place was like an owl cafe or something like that. But I would do the owl cafe, except I'd be worried about getting shit on the whole time I was in there.
I'd be worried about them pecking out my eyeballs.
But yeah, Jeff, you're talking about like Disneyland does have, Tokyo does have Disney Sea, which I hear is like the thing you really want to do, not the normal Disneyland if you have to pick.
Right, it's like one of the extra parks, like we have.
Yeah,
UCA, yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's what I've heard too.
And just like a lot of places, like in California, like we'll say like, oh, it's Los Angeles. It's not actually in Tokyo.
Right.
So
we're planning on going to France this spring, and Laura really wants to go to Paris, Disneyland Paris, when we're there.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's like nowhere near Paris, right? It's like.
It's like same thing you said. It's like an hour drive.
Yeah, out of Paris. Yeah. It's like
so, 100%. Similar to LA to Anaheim. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Anything else you want to rate this thing?
Sure.
All right. Let's rate this thing. As usual, we rate on a scale of 1 to 7. 1 being garbage. 7 being perfection. I'll give this movie a 5. I still liked it. It's not the best. It'd be a low 5, but I say I liked it more than I disliked it. So 5 for me. Alex?
I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay.
It's in between. Like, because it did make me angry, but then it won me over towards the end. So it kind of balanced out, you know?
All right. Scott?
I will also give it a 4. A lot of likable actors here, some funny stuff, but I don't think we mentioned it, but it was about like 15-20 minutes too long, and some of it is kind of weak. So yeah, 4.
By the way, how did you guys watch it?
Amazon.
Prime, yeah.
Prime?
It was free on Prime?
It was not free on Prime. Nope.
Yeah, so I bought it on YouTube, and it was free on YouTube, and I don't know.
Damn it, the one place I didn't check.
But I don't know if it's because I pay for premium YouTube, and it seemed like it was deal or something. YouTube so TV. I don't know.
It takes premium, dude. Yeah. Premium.
Premium.
So.
Okay.
All right. Well, it's time for Alex Knows Sports.
I'm Alex, and I like sports.
Oh, wait. Sorry. We're going to do our crossover topic, just but Alex only version, and we're going to do our top five hoes.
Okay.
Go for it, Alex.
My top five hoes. Number five, Ho Chi Minh.
Boo.
Yeah, he's a bad guy, right? That's why he's number five. He sucks, okay. But he's got a cool name. He's a ho. My number two would be... Who the heck is that one lady? Well, my number one is Julia Roberts, the Pretty Woman. I'll work my way down. Number four Ho-fo would show. Be... Yeah. Number four would be from the Disney movie, Robin Hood, when Little John goes, ho, when he's pulling the cart and rescuing everybody.
That sounds like Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Oh, number three, Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Or...
Santa Claus.
Lion-O.
Oh, that's right. Number two.
Bunch of people say ho.
That's all the hoes. Only two people on my ho list are actual people.
All right. Well, one of my best friends from high school and after would be Art Ho, so throw him in there, too.
All right.
What about Don Ho? Jeff probably appreciate that. You probably heard Tiny Bubbles recently.
Tiny Bubbles. I haven't heard it recently, but there was a lot of Don Ho on our radio station while we were traveling through the island.
Meleke Miki Maka?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, now it's time for Alex Knows Sports.
I'm Alex, and I like sports.
Sports ball.
A very controversial F1 race in Las Vegas. This happened this past weekend. And, boy, I mean, F1 is usually full of drama, but man.
Man, that, it was that, amped up that for blue, Vegas. That blue shell at the end.
Fucking hey. But there was like a loose drain cover that wrecked one of the cars during practice.
It wasn't, and the drivers, that wasn't practice. That was
I'm reading it right now. During practice.
It wasn't technically practice. It was
it was practice.
It was like the pole setting or whatever.
Practice? We talking about practice?
Anyways, good.
Yeah, and well, all the articles I'm reading over here on ESPN say it was a practice. Anyway. Yeah, the committee ruled on it that he couldn't get a replacement. Like, you only have a set of replacement parts for the whole season for the car. So if there's damage to a certain part and everything, you can't get more than one without getting penalized. And it was, ridiculous. But they did penalize Carlos Sainz, who was the driver. 10 positions. He was in second. He started in 12th in the race because he had to get a new part for the car that was wrecked by the drain, which is, you know, completely not his fault. It should have been. They should have just given him the part, in my opinion, because it was like, I wouldn't say a freak accident. They really should have caught that a lot sooner. At the start of the race, even though in the pre-race, you know, they do like a little parade and everything. There was a bunch of classic cars that were going in and out. One of the classic cars had a huge oil leak in the like close to the starting line, so they were like rushing to get that cleaned up for the start of the race as well, and that caused like a little some cars to go a bit squirrely during the race. Only at the start, thankfully. After a couple laps, it was, you know, most of the dust got cleared up or got blown away. So after that was fine. But the race itself was also, like, actually really entertaining. It was very cool. It was the first time on that track for a lot of racers, so they didn't have any, like, strategies or a lot of practice time on the track at all. Because, you know, it was the first time. So it was great. There was a lot of overtaking. A lot of position changes, especially in in first, second, and third. Because in some races, like, the person is first, who's usually Max Verstappen, gets 20 seconds ahead, and then it's over, you know? Then it's like a battle for third or third and fourth, which is really entertaining. But this time, it was, like, a lot of razzle-dazzle. It was a great race.
Yeah. I watched a video today of how they blocked off the view from all the walkways.
Yeah, that was bullshit.
And then, like, there was, like, a shitload of security, like, people just making sure nobody stopped to, like, try to, like, get a crappy view through the... It's, my God.
I saw some Humvees out there. Did they get the National Guard?
I don't know. Like, on one hand, I could see, like, how it would be, like, a safety hazard if you had, like thousands of people trying to cram in on all these bridges. But on the other hand, like, they were just being jerks to anybody that stopped to look. Like, yeah. Like, I don't know. It was stupid. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
People tearing the screens off of the chain link fences and everything. And then they're trying to rush to patch them all up because nobody can watch for free.
Well, it's like, it was stupid. Yeah, it's like the race was for everybody that didn't live in Las Vegas. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
So, yeah, that was bullshit. But they got a 10-year contract, so 9 more races in Vegas. It was cool. It was a nighttime race, of course.
I wondered,
the big dome was amazing.
When the race was over, did they immediately open the streets back up again? Or did they, like, allow people to walk it? Like, I'm curious about that.
Oh, no. They didn't. I don't think they allowed
people. Because I know, like, at New Year's, at New Year's, they... they like close down the streets and stuff to cars traveling and stuff. So.
Right.
And anyway.
But no, I don't think so. That's it. How about real sports? How about that?
Real sports.
How about that?
It's time for NEM News.
Yeah.
It was yeah. Okay. Because it's been too long since I talked about Marvel stuff. Literally talk about Marvel. I went and saw The Marvels.
Hey, me too.
I enjoyed it. I think it's, for me, in the upper tier of everything post-Endgame. Yeah, it was fun. It was silly at points in a good way. Yeah, I don't want to get too much into it plot-wise for people that have not seen it yet. But yeah, I recommend it. There were a couple of great sequences in it. One in particular, that again, I don't want to spoil, that it's almost worth the price of admission. And this one felt very self-contained. I feel like Marvel's kind of moving away from the, I still have to watch.
Chaining everything together.
Yeah. Like the larger universe here, for better or worse, probably for better, because just the momentum they had going into Endgame, like, I don't think they can, like, replicate that.
I don't think so
either. So yeah, they gotta have stuff that can kind of stand on its own. Again, I recommend it. So like you said you liked it, Alex.
We'll talk a little bit. I really liked it. Yeah, it had its own, not as far as James Gunn, but it did have its own flavor, aside from, you know, the other Marvel movies. It really had its own identity. So I hope they keep making more Marvel movies like that. Because that also ties into the comic books. Every comic book, you know, series has its own, like, personality and everything. Where some of the Marvel movies got a bit samey, you know? So this was very refreshing. I wasn't expecting it to be as good as it is. And I also recommend it. Go take your kids. My kids loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, just some other minor things, like Iman Vellani is adorable. You know, the MCU movies don't really have a character like her. You've seen in some of, like, the TV stuff, but she's good. I always like Brie Larson. Lashana Lynch is good, although, like, her character hasn't had much time to breathe since WandaVision. Or no, not Lashana Lynch. Tiona Paris, sorry. Saw the Rambo. Yep, there was also a couple of very interesting stingers.
I already forgot the stingers.
Yeah. That's it for that. Switching over to the other...
Before you leave that, so I've heard that Disney is like, it didn't do great at the box office. Partially it's because the actors couldn't promote it. And partially, I think it's Marvel fatigue or whatever. Next year, they're only releasing one Marvel movie. They're bringing it back in.
I mean, it was talking...
better for worse.
I was having very serious talks over the weekend about Star Wars movies. Force Awakens had to have gotten a huge boost just because it had been so long, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
It had been... what was that, like 12 years?
Yeah. No, the other two movies made a shitload of money too, so maybe it wouldn't have mattered that much. But, maybe that's what Marvel needs, is they need to kind of reset the hype on it. We'll see where they really go with it.
And I think they're going to be doing less TV. They've made too much, right? I think the whole Endgame, everything leading up to Endgame is this whole phenomena that people were loving, and then it is over, and then it was just, okay, now there's more, and I think it was...
Yeah, they kept going. It's like, no, we need a break, bro.
Yeah, I think that's kind of... Yeah, everything, and then they got rid of... They haven't replaced the two main characters they got with yet, that people have gravitated to anyway.
That was the other thing I was going to say, is like, they don't have that... I don't know, star power is that way, because I feel like Brie Larson's a pretty big name. There's really nobody else that is like... I don't know.
He's speechless.
Maybe Shang-Chi, second one of those. Maybe Simu Liu gets to do more, but...
I hope so. I like Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
That's my favorite of all of the... Phase 5, whatever we're in, movies. But... Yeah. Yeah, they don't have to be connected. I think just do that. But you know what they're going to do? They're going to bring back Fantastic Four after all of this, and maybe whoever they cast
is X-Men.
Reed Richards. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You cast a good Reed Richards, you cast a good Professor X and Wolverine, and I think you'll be back on it, right? But I think just give it some time. This is the first Marvel movie I haven't seen, and I'll see it when it comes on Disney Plus, but I've just lost interest in all the shows. Mm-hmm. I've lost interest in this.
I credit to the director, who is... I already forgot her name.
A woman.
I changed my mind. I hate this movie. what is her name?
Nia DaCosta.
Thank you, Nia DaCosta. To her credit, the movie is only an hour and 40.
It gets a lot done.
It wasn't one of these
take some notes, future writer directors.
So know this, Jeff. If and when you eventually sit down to watch it, it's not a 2.5 hour.
Yeah, I heard it's the shortest one.
Yeah. So credit to again Nia DaCosta for recognizing that. But speaking of Reed Richards, Pedro Pascal has been tapped to play him. By the way.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Is that official?
I've seen it pop up. I don't know how official it is. Let's see what Deadline has to say. After months of speculation over who might play Reed Richards, blah blah blah, wait's finally over. While a deal is far from done, sources tell Deadline that Pedro Pascal, blah blah blah.
He seems too old. They need to be starting with a younger casserole.
Maybe,
don't they?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, they tried that with Fantastic Four. Remember?
Okay, not that young.
But Reed Richards always had the white hair on the sides of his head. He's old.
So
yeah, wasn't that from the experiment gone wrong, not age?
No, I think it was age.
I don't know.
He's old man.
So, just because, you know, I wanted to stop talking about nerd stuff.
Yeah. Here we go. Mm-hmm.
Superman Legacy casting is pretty much rounded out here. I don't know if you've been paying attention to this at all, Jeff.
Nope.
Or Alex. or you, I guess.
For me either.
So, James Gunn, again, his name's come up a couple times here.
He's Superman?
He cast himself?
He did, in every role. It's kind of weird. I don't know how he's going to pull off playing Lois Lane, but I think he can do it.
I think he can do it.
So the guy...
Eddie Murphy.
So I don't know how old some of this casting news is, but I was unaware of it, so we'll run through it real quick. David Cornsweet is Clark Kent / Superman.
Cornsweet?
Corn. Cornsweet. Cornsweet.
Oh, I wish his name was Cornsweet.
I don't... This guy has been in some things, but yeah, he's relatively, like, he's not megastar that they're bringing in here. Okay. So
that's good.
This feels a lot like Cavill all over again. But yeah, we'll see what this guy did. He looks the part. Like, he's tall. He's handsome. Like, I don't know.
That's all you need.
Yeah, pretty much. He's American. We're getting our Jerd back. Brit's taking our greatest American. Anyways. You have Rachel Brosnahan as Lois Lane. Alex, you might have seen some of it. I don't know, maybe Jeff, because Laura was watching it. But The Marvelous Miss Maisel.
I've only seen one episode
of that. Although she was also in House of Cards.
I would have saw her from that, but I wouldn't remember.
She was the call girl that they stash in like season one. And I haven't seen the whole obvious season, but so she's Lois Lane. Nathan Fillion's supposed to play Guy Gardner, which I love.
Yeah, that's awesome.
that's gonna be good,
because I think wasn't Nathan Fillion like the voice of Hal Jordan for one of the cartoons?
Yeah, I think he's done Hal Jordan, but just going with Guy Gardner instead of Hal Jordan or John,
dude, that's gonna be so much fun.
John Stewart, that'd be... They say that he's going to... I mean, you can't not have the bowl cut. So, yeah, it'll be good.
It was that Guy Gardner.
Yeah. There's other characters here just to speed things up. The other big one is Nicholas Holt as Lex Luthor. I think that was just... Just
announced. Yeah, that's a good choice.
So I think, yeah, I really like that casting. Shiny and chrome. It's shaping up. They've got the crux of the cast. I don't see Perry White yet. But yeah, there's quite a few characters. They've got Hawk Girl.
Because he's too busy munching on some grindage.
Munching on some grindage. That's right. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a deep cut. Mm-hmm.
Takes the season to watch.
Grindage.
That's true.
But yeah, the movie's supposed to have Hawk Girl, Metamorpho, Mr. Terrific, The Engineer. It sounds like there's like a pseudo Justice League thing from the get-go, which is interesting.
Yeah, maybe.
But no Batman yet. Dun, dun, dun. I wonder if they're going to... It's interesting that they're bringing to Mr. Terrific, because his character is like... He's not Tony Stark, but like he's like the tech genius of kind of DC. Or like one of them anyway. So yeah, I feel like DC hasn't had that character in any of the movies, so we'll see where they go with it.
Well, it looks like this Anthony Carrigan, who plays Rex Mason, I have no idea who that is, but he played
Noho.
He was in
What?
He was in the Gotham show. He played Zaz.
Yeah. Did you watch Barry at all, Jeff?
No, I saw like one or two episodes, and we really liked it. We just never got back to it. But no, I never saw.
Yeah,
it.
He has a he's really good on that show. He has a character named Noho, like North Hollywood, Noho, I forget. Anyways.
Number four on my hoes list.
There you go.
Noho.
What about WeHo?
Number three.
Yeah. Anyway, Superman stuff. This is probably not going to be out for another couple years, but Now we have casting.
Still, yeah, next year.
Probably going full tilt on this now that the actor strike's over. I don't think we've gotten the chance to talk about that since.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is over. And they'll never strike again. Because the studios
have learned their lesson.
Yeah, yeah, everybody will be treated fairly from here on forward.
Yes. Fair pay, living wages.
So there we are. And that's it for me. Alex, anything you would like to go on?
Yeah. Speaking of DC, I just watched The Blue Beetle. It's on HBO Max.
Okay.
How was that? Now. That kind of looks good. I didn't watch it, but it looked good.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. There's some cringy moments just because it's like, oh, it's like some of the humor is like, ah. But the movie's very Mexican, and I appreciate a good Mexican cast in a movie, and it was great. That's why I think a lot of the serious moments hit home for me. But all those cringy jokes that I was talking about, my kids love them. So that's why they're there. but yeah, it was fun. It had some 80s cheese to it, which I also am a huge fan of. So I recommend it. It's a good watch.
You don't watch Cobra Kai, right? Or do you?
I've seen one season of Cobra Kai.
Yeah, because the main character, that kid, he is like the main character of that show, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I barely recognized him. But yeah.
Yeah, if you only saw the first season, he's aged a lot, I guess, since then. But yeah, he's like one of, if not the main character of the show. And he's pretty good at that.
Yeah, he's good in this. He's good as a Blue Beetle.
There you go.
I liked it. Yeah, go watch it, people. Aside from that... Yeah, Black Friday's coming up. A lot of deals are out right now. So get your shop on.
Yeah.
Take advantage.
I'm tempted to buy stuff that I absolutely don't need. Which I should not do. It's been an expensive year. I really should.
It's for the children. It's not for me.
Wink, wink. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. Say no more.
Mm-hmm. What was it? I keep meaning to talk about something. Oh, real quick. Netflix. Wes Anderson has done some short movies for Netflix based on Roald Dahl short stories. And, I mean, if you like Wes Anderson, then you're going to like these movies. If you do not, hoo boy. He goes full Wes Anderson on these things. So, have you guys watched any of them?
I was unaware of them.
Oh, okay. They're under different titles. So, the longest one, which clocks in at 47 minutes... is the wonderful story of Henry Sugar, starring Benedict Cumberbatch.
Okay, I have seen that. I didn't know that was a Dahl thing.
Yeah, me either. But it's cool because he uses the same cast pretty much for all these movies, but in different roles. So it's always Benedict Cumberbatch, Ben Kingsley, Ralph Fiennes, and damn it, some other guy.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
And what's the guy with the from the IT crowd with the weird afro?
Oh, David. Something. I always forget how to pronounce
his name. Something. He's more of a supporting actor in most of these and stuff. But yeah, it's like a total four. It's got the Henry Sugar, the Swan, the Rat Catcher. And Poison. And they're all very good, super quirky, some are funny, some are poignant, but 1,000% Wes Anderson. So there you go.
So okay, so IT crowd, it's one of two guys, right? It's either Chris O'Dowd or Richard Ayoade.
Yeah, Richard Ayoade.
Okay. Alright, anything else?
As a Wes Anderson fan, I recommend. But that's it.
Sounds good.
That's what I kept forgetting. These past few weeks.
All right. If there's nothing else, Jeff, did you catch any traveling movies?
Nope.
Nope. This was like a cross between The Emperor and like I don't know what the other thing was. Midwestern.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I haven't really watched anything. I'm trying to think. It's been a rough few weeks.
Yeah.
Got married. Did some honeymooning in Hawaii. I don't know if I can share. Went to the volcanoes. Have you ever been to the Big Island? Go to the Big Island. It was very interesting, very fun. Just totally, like, you drive around the island. It's a big island, so you're driving a lot, but it's like, oh, now we're, it's just nothing but lava rocks. And then another spot, it's like rolling green hills. And another spot, you're in the jungle with waterfall. It's kind of just all these different terrains out there. That was cool. Oh,
did you get to go to a black sand beach?
We did go to a black sand beach.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Bottom of the island, gorgeous. That was really cool. Saw some sea turtles.
Did you eat any of them?
Did not eat any of the turtles. I did drink a lot.
just like a turtle.
Yeah.
Man, I love being a turtle.
Yeah, that was fun. I guess one of the cooler things we did is went up to Mount Mauna Kea. It's like the highest, it's technically the tallest mountain in the world if you go from the bottom of the ocean.
If you measure from the base.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But it's one of the most popular spots for scientists to have telescopes up there just because of there's like very little light pollution and stuff like that. So you could drive up to the visitor center, which is, I forgot how high it is. Let's say it's 17,000 feet up, but they won't let you go the last 3,000 feet after dark because they don't want anyone up there to ruin the science research and stuff that's going up there. And you have to be worried of like elevation sickness and stuff. So we went to the visitor center. Yep. And it's amazing stargazing. Like, I've never seen, like, you could see the Milky Way and just all that sounds stuff. Cool. And they had this lady up there with the, like a park ranger or something. She had this laser pointer that she said literally in Australia, she had to register as a weapon. This thing was so strong. She just points it in the air and it's just, you see this beam of light. Like, it was pretty awesome. Wow. And there's like one thing she pointed out to you can actually see that's in a different galaxy. Like, that was just really cool to see. Like, there's one little speck. It goes, that's actually, and it's like a, not even a speck, it's like a blurb. Anyway, just, it was just really cool. But it just sucks. Like, one, because you're up there, but there's no control. So, like, one car, someone leaves early or whatever, then the headlights hit you in the face, and it's like, oh, no, I can't see anything for 5 minutes. I gotta wait for my eyes to get better.
Yeah.
And then idiots walking around with their phones. Because it's dark, but it almost should be like, okay, for the next 15 minutes, everyone just stop.
Yeah, well, like, light pollution is real. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was really epic. And that drive up there, even though we didn't get to the worst part, but even that part was bad. And they're just like, it was hilarious. We're driving, and there's like a wild boar everywhere up there, which I guess is a nuisance. And the first time we saw one, Laura's like, oh, it's a Pumbaa. Oh, it's another Pumbaa. And then we saw lots of dead roadkill Pumbaas, and it got sad. Really quick. Oh, look, there's a dead Pumbaa. Another dead Pumbaa. And, the honeymoon was great. And then we did, we couldn't go on the beach the last day and a half because there was a 15-foot tiger shark patrolling the beach. So that was cool.
You just, I mean, what are the odds?
You just flick it on the nose. That's all you have to do.
Yeah.
But luckily, we had already done our beach days a couple days, so we were fine with that. But it was just, I went to get some towels for the pool, and he's like, by the way, we aren't getting out beach towels. Don't go in the water. There's a shark. I'm like, thanks for the heads up, brother. I'm not going in the water. Go ahead.
I think you could have taken the shark, Jeff.
Yeah.
Just saying.
But otherwise, yeah, no new movie. I'm sure I did watch some stuff, but I can't think of anything. So, full-blown holiday season now.
Indeed.
And sports. I beat Alex at fantasy football this week.
Everybody's doing that.
Yeah, I know, Alex. I think you're in last place, huh?
Yeah, I know.
I thought.
You're welcome, Scott.
I'm right there with you, man. I thought I had set, so I'm in a work league this year also, and I forget which league it was, but I thought I had set my lineup, like, because there was buys and stuff like that. Nope. So I just basically gave away one of my games. But yeah, I've consistently been doing double losses every weekend, so turns out I'm perhaps not good at fantasy football. I should just let it auto draft for me. I think that was my problem. Like, I actually like
thought. Yeah, I learned that last year.
Maybe I'll do it next year.
All right.
I guess it.
Oh yeah, real quick, Jeff, how did you do on our quizzes?
So I did listen to the first one, but I fell asleep during it.
Always keep them riveted.
That entertainment, yeah.
And I was just embarrassed for Scott, just because he knows so much about that fucking shit. Like, he hadn't even finished asking the question yet, and he was already, oh, Dikembe Mutombo, whatever. Like,
yeah. not in my house. I'm a nerd for...
Well, it's because I know nothing about it, right? It's all foreign to me. So, yeah, Alex is asking a question, I don't even know what it means, and you're answering it before, like, that's what's just amazing for me. Because on his, it was all Simpsons stuff, and I did pretty good. Like, I was knowing pretty much the same stuff Alex was. And the one that I laughed at is when you asked him about the argument between Wade Boggs and Barney. And Alex, like, I don't really know what it is, I just know it phonetically. And that was the same thing with me. I just know it's hit the elder. I don't know what that means. I just know the... So I did laugh at that. I didn't finish listening. Like I said, I fell asleep, and then I kept like replaying it and then falling asleep, and yeah. But yeah. And I did not listen to the second one yet. I heard Brian told me that you like quizzed on yourself or something like that, which is
yeah, let's see how well you know Alex.
I don't wanna know. Guy drops turds off his pant leg on Tom Sawyer's Island.
That was not one of the questions.
Yeah, because everybody knows that question. Yeah. What are my fighter moments?
Which island did I poop my pants?
Trick question. It's been more than one island.
Yeah. Catalina. It was Hawaii. Or Tom Sawyer's. All right. Is that it?
Yeah, for real now.
Yeah, all right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Congratulations.
Yep. Congratulations.
10 years of Hans Shot First.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We had our 10-year anniversary.
I can't believe it.